Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 9th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt County Office of Education isn't the super, it's the assistant super. Notice I didn't use the abbreviation.
That's right. Thanks, Ryan. Good
keep
morning.
Keep things on the straight and narrow. Colby Smart is with us. And are you ready? This is why Hartley backed out. He didn't want to end the year on a challenge.
I've been waiting all weekend for this, bro.
All right, let's see. What's the next one? Oh, that's a fancy word, I know. Lollapalooza.
Well,
where did the term Lollapalooza come from?
Well, the only context that I know is that it's a musical festival that started, I believe, in the 1990s, but I'm sure it's got some more historic roots, so why don't you enlighten me?
Lollapalooza comes from the provincialism of the County Mayo in Ireland. Okay, it's not going to make any sense to anybody, meaning a sturdy fellow. The Irish adopted it from the French, who, when they landed in Ireland in 1798, reportedly shouted, it doesn't matter, that's a stupid one. How about lame duck?
Sounds like slang.
Yeah, it sounds like where I am, huh? Lame duck. Why is a member of Congress who's failed to be reelected called a lame duck?
Well, because they're in this period between November and January when the new Congress takes effect. This period is kind of almost like purgatory, where you don't have an opportunity to really stretch your political influence.
No,
really.
Wild ducks in flight fly together, their heads outstretched in front, their legs outstretched behind.
Well, there you go.
Okay. A lame duck can't keep up with flock. So, too, a member of the British Stock Exchange who couldn't meet his liabilities on settling day couldn't keep up with the flock and was struck off the list. From this, we get our use of the term in reference to members of Congress who fail to be reelected and cannot continue in office.
Correct.
All right, partial points.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for the enlightenment.
Yeah, Mr. Education. One of the things that I think is really cool about our area, and I maybe it's every other area too, but I'm just not that familiar with other areas, is the variety of different folks we have. We've got Indians. Mm-hmm. We've got people who've been here for long generations, a lot of new folks that are here, people who helped settle, like six generations back, and now you're talking about the people who are actually settling the land instead of going back 400 or 500 years like other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. We see this wide variety of folks that are in our area. Is that capitalized on by local education?
Well, yeah, I would say on an individual level, and usually those kind of exchanges, those cultural exchanges, happen on the individual level, not necessarily the systemic level. Now, when you're talking about understanding our own history, we've got so many opportunities locally to learn about that history. And of course, remember, the United States were not the first nation here. Outside of the Native Americans, we had a Russian presence.
Weren't you a Native American? I am. I was born here.
Right. but there was
that's one of the flash ones for me.
There was Russian influence, of course. There was Spanish influence as well.
Portuguese.
Of course, they were coming or going somewhere else here. Stopped along the way.
And then the Eskimos, and then the Asians, and I guess when you're on the highway, there's a lot of action. So as you look at the experience that local students get. Mm-hmm. Do you think they understand or appreciate that stuff?
Well, it's hard to make a blanket statement about anyone. I think it's dependent on where they are geographically in our county. For example, Klamath Trinity has got some amazing opportunities for the kids there to learn about the local culture.
Couldn't that be transported into the other areas of the county, though?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And it is in other areas like Lolita, For example, Eureka High School, they've got a Yurok language class. So, yeah.
It'd be cool to sit in on that one sometime.
Absolutely.
Of course,
absolutely.
That would mean I'd have to, like, think about it. But, yeah, some of those opportunities are just kind of sitting out there.
Yeah, you know, and looking outside of our county.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Colby Smart from Humboldt County Office of Ed. The international students, there are some schools that have got a lot. There are some that don't have much. There are some that focus a lot of the curriculum, or some districts, I guess, that focus the curriculum in that direction. Others, not so much so. Mm-hmm. I know you guys don't get in at that level. Mm-hmm. But what level do you get in with some of the international and that stuff, or curriculum in general?
Sure, absolutely. Well, one of the things that happened recently, Brian, is Dr. Hartley over the summer was approached by one of his colleagues from the university inviting the county office to Taiwan to take part in an international conference on international education. Dr. Hartley couldn't go, so he asked if I'd go and represent the county office and learn a little bit more about what Taiwan is doing in this area. And so I went over there and took part in this conference. In fact, I presented at the conference a little bit about what's going on here. But really, in addition to that conference, I had the good fortune of being able to travel a good part of the country to learn about the educational system in Taiwan. One of the major initiatives that's happening right now is they call it International Education 2.0. And
this is from the American side or the Taiwanese side?
This is the Taiwanese side. And so there is a national effort, I do mean national effort on the Taiwanese part, to build international relationships, in particular, building more relationships with the United States. And so I visited approximately 7 schools, elementary, middle school, and high schools. Met a lot of teachers, met a lot of principals, and just learned a lot about the international efforts there. Because you have to, as you know, Taiwan is a very small country, and in many eyes, it's not technically a country. It's part of, you know, politically mainland China. There's a lot of dispute, a lot of history there.
It depends on who you talk to.
It depends on who you talk to, which side of the strait you're from. But come to find out, they're extremely interested in building new partnerships with schools, with teachers, and for the benefit of their students and the benefit of our students. And that comes in form much more than, you know, the traditional go study abroad for a semester or a year. There's a lot of examples of where individual classrooms are starting to connect using technology.
So similar to what you guys do with the state parks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a different email address at the other end.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. And utilizing tools like Skype or FaceTime to where kids can actually not only interact, but work collaboratively on projects. And I'll give you an example. I met one teacher, fifth grade teacher, who works internationally with a class in Japan. And they actually co-paint a mural. So the kids in Taiwan will paint part of the mural, and then they'll ship it over to this school in Japan, and then they'll finish. So they work collaboratively on this project. Other examples, if they got what are called international hackathons, where kids, high school kids, are coding with one another, solving problems. And so because of technology, the opportunities and the examples of what can happen internationally are just really left to our own imaginations.
So as you look at their educational model, I think we're all fairly familiar with many of them where there are major forks in the road.
Yep.
Based on test results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at sixth grade, there's one. Going into high school, there's one. The model where a lot of the kids basically go to a boarding school, mm-hmm. starting third, fourth grade,
yep.
and they may come home for the weekends, and they may not come home for the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those that are, I guess, culturally structured in, does that exist in Taiwan, or is Taiwan a little different offset?
Yeah, I would say it's slightly different. Of course, I was there for 10 days, so my knowledge, I'm just really learning. But what I observed is that the model is very much modeled after the United States model, where you've got 12 grades. A couple exceptions is they've got 3 years of kindergarten, so kids actually start about 3 years old.
Well, that's kind of sort of what you
like
guys
preschool.
Are doing now.
Yeah, it's like preschool or pre-K. And the biggest difference, you know, that's similar to the model you mentioned, is a lot of kids, especially starting junior high through high school, after the school day, many kids go to what they call cram schools. There's where basically they go and study very, very intensely, especially around the areas of engineering and mathematics.
You mean SATs?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think a lot of folks, depending on what side of the ledger you're on,
mm-hmm.
do they lose their childhood? Doesn't matter. Yeah, what is the goal? Is it to get into the best college, to be able then to do something, or is it something different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's just one step off.
Yeah.
And so it's a little uncomfortable for us to look in just because it's one step off, let alone then, are you rushing childhood out and adulthood in, too much pressure on the kids, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I would say one thing I learned is there's a recognition in Taiwan that, first of all, their natural population is declining, right? So they're not reproducing at the same rate, so their native population is declining. And there's a general recognition on the part of the Ministry of Education and just the country in general that they don't have a lot of natural resources, not a lot of natural resource extraction. So what they say is the people are the most important resource that they have. And so there's an incredible investment towards building the capacity of young people in Taiwan.
Now, will the no ball this time. We just get fingers. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Colby Smart, the Assistant Superintendent of what?
Educational Services at the county.
Services.
Office.
I knew it was something with education.
Yeah. Good guess.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Colby, looking at the experience or reflecting on the experience you had in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were trying to pick your mind.
They were.
Okay, fine. What did you take away? Being there for a week and a half, there must mm-hmm. have been things you kind of went, okay.
Yeah, you know, I love that question because I did come away with some, first of all, an appreciation of our own system. A lot of Taiwanese schools, especially the public school system, is modeled after the United States. But there are some really interesting differences. For example, teachers teach 4 days a week. And the fifth day is specifically devoted for professional development and communicating with parents, doing email, that sort of thing. So there's ongoing professional development. It's baked into the system. another interesting tidbit is that principals they're only allowed to teach, or excuse me, lead a school for four-year terms, and they can only re-up twice. So the max
appointed,
okay. And appointed not just by the school board, but appointed by the parents. And I'd say the final thing that a takeaway that I came with is the general social status that teachers hold in that country. It's akin to a medical doctor. There is a high degree of respect for teachers. Parents defer to teachers. And as a result, you have, from what I saw, a very energized, very engaged teaching force.
Do you have an engaged, vitalized parent?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And I didn't have I did meet a few parents. I didn't meet a lot of parents. But the parents that I did meet basically echo what I just said. There's a high degree of respect and also a high degree of expectation of educators in that.
So more of a results-focused.
Yes.
But given the opportunity to provide the results.
Yes, absolutely. And the resources.
You had mentioned the state was involved in putting a lot of resources into the education of the population rather than some of the other areas because of the physical conditions of the country.
Mm-hmm.
How did that manifest itself?
So related to international education, about 10 years ago, they had what they called International Education 1.0. Right. And so the whole goal of that program was to do some formal outreach from the top. Right. The Ministry of Education would make formal agreements with schools in other countries. What they realized is that teachers and students are the ones best equipped to create a more varied opportunity for students. And so now the 2.0, the emphasis is on giving districts over there autonomy when it comes to creating relationships, whether it's sister relationships, sister schools, or sister classrooms, or just individual projects, giving them the autonomy to go out and develop these relationships. And so it's much more localized.
Akin to school boards and small districts here?
Yes.
Or at the state level?
No, akin to districts here, district-to-district relationships. And that's one of the reasons why I was invited to go over there. They sponsored us, and just to give you an idea, I was the only American over there outside of Dr. Hartley's colleague, Dr. Larry Mackey, who teaches over there at the local university.
I was wondering how you had an interpreter.
I did, but you know, the interpreters, guess who most of my interpreters were?
Kids?
They were kids. They were kids. In fact, all the schools I went to, the kids were the interpreters. And I'll never forget just a quick little story. I was invited to eat school lunch at the cafeteria. And the young lady who was probably about 12, who was my interpreter, after I ate lunch, she asked me, "Oh, you know, Mr. Smart, how did you like our lunch?" And I said, "Oh, it was the best lunch ever." And I wish I had a picture of it because metal plates, metal chopsticks, the whole thing. And they were hoping I would be their sponsor in improving the school lunch program there.
Oh.
And so the Mandarin Chinese is the primary language, but they've officially made English the second primary language. And so there's English instruction beginning, I believe it's grade 2.
So they're pretty well versed.
Oh, yeah, the young people. Flawless.
You didn't hit him with speakers. A southern accent, did you?
I didn't. Actually, maybe next
or New
time.
England accent. I often wonder because they're probably speaking like Midwest or California.
Correct.
English.
Yes.
Rather than.
And their accent shows it.
Texas.
Yeah.
Or Georgia or Massachusetts.
I mean, no, I didn't think it was right to play mind games with the middle schoolers. but the kids are engaged in some really interesting projects, and it's not just focused on math and engineering. There's a lot of arts happening in the schools. I was fortunate enough to be met with at Jai City, which is in south central Taiwan, the local middle school band, which were the national champions, played for us, which was incredible. So there's a lot of arts. There's a lot of focus on STEM and STEAM in general, the science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And, you know, I went into classrooms and kids are learning how to solder circuits.
That's right. I had written down the vocational schools because, you know, you hear about the major forks in the road and the pressures the kids have to take, you know, the test to determine if they're going to have the chance to do certain things or not. Is that model still in play, or is it now more of a cross section, and they want the would-be doctors to also know how to fry an egg?
Well, I'm not sure I can speak to that with too much authority. But what I did observe is every kid in the middle school was engaged in home economics classes, as you or I might remember them. I mean, the kids who were doing the engineering were also making cakes, you know. So I saw.
So life skills were incorporated into the system.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. You know, I wish it was a little bit more here too.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
It's, I don't know, things change. Now here we've got state test scores.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the equivalent of something like that to be able to measure how various teachers in various districts or city states are doing?
They do. I'm not really sure what they call them, but there are benchmark assessments, summative assessments that happen at certain intervals.
12-month school year or 9-month?
No, not 12-month. They have a summer break like us. They have a winter break like us. It's just not, it doesn't fall equally on the calendar. But the summer break is very similar to ours.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Colby Smart. Colby, the concept here of the international student, is this to learn the education model? Is this to develop a formalized exchange program with some of the Chinese, or Taiwanese specifically, coming here and some of the American kids going there? What is the end game on this from HCOE?
Mm-hmm. Well, like a lot of things, HCOE really wants to help broker relationships, right? So I certainly came back with some ideas that I would like to see. But Dr. Hartley and I have really talked and made the commitment that we don't want to necessarily get ahead of our skis. So what I've done is I've been reaching out to districts and presenting at the local regional admin, letting them know of the experience and giving people opportunities to start developing those relationships.
So you're kind of doing a roadshow and hear the context if you're interested?
Absolutely. In fact, today at 3:30, we're having our first cross-Pacific meeting where about 7 to 8 administrators from Taiwan are going to be joining us via Zoom. And we've got, I believe, about 8 to 9 local educators here. And we're just going to start that process of what does it look like? Because, like I mentioned, the opportunities really are endless. There's a lot of interest over there for having teachers come over and learn more about our system. And then there's also opportunities for short-term English teaching in the summertime over in Taiwan for our educators.
So like a one-monthers kind of thing?
Yeah, 1 month, 6 weeks, Fulbright program, which is run by the American Institute of Taiwan. They don't call them embassies there.
Well, the equivalent of, yeah.
Exactly, because of the political dynamics. And so it could be something grand like that. The options also can be much more personalized, where you get a bunch of fourth graders on both sides of the Pacific writing pen pal letters to one another. Having that exposure for kids helps teach empathy, helps put context into the global society that they now live in.
Any concern about censorship?
No.
When the kids are talking, or you don't have that concern?
When you say concerns about, you mean making sure the kids behave? Or?
No, the restrictions in the to the internet that China has.
No,
as a country.
Thank you for that question. Taiwan is, it's a much quote unquote freer society intellectually and also information wise than mainland China.
Cool, cool. Sounds like you had some fun.
It was fantastic.
All right, nice to see you again, bud.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
See everybody tomorrow.